1 Samuel 17, verse 45 to 47. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, that God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands."
Good morning. Welcome to church members and visitors alike. It's good to see you here. So I think that you would agree with me this morning that we're living in some rather remarkable times. I read a little reference last night from, I think it was Patriarchs and Prophets, might have been Prophets and Kings, and the text, there was about two paragraphs, sounded exactly like what we're seeing today in the news and in the world around us. The only thing is, it was written something like 125 years ago. So things have really become interesting, shall we say. They're more noteworthy day by day, are they not? We must be living in those perilous times that Paul wrote about in his last letter to Timothy, the spiritually dangerous times. Let's pray as we get started. We do thank you, Father, for the many blessings you send our way. We thank you for the message, "Be strong in the Lord." I pray today that your Spirit will guide this message into our ears and into our hearts, that we might in turn live our lives for you. We ask this, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. So, where do you go to find the kind of strength that you need for present-day living? Do you ever feel like David against Goliath in the location that you occupy? Where do you get the strength to proceed against the wind or uphill, like David did against Goliath so many years ago? Of course, the answer is that true spiritual strength does not come from the world. Yet today, many will seek for power and for strength by securing a good education. Now, we know it's good to be educated because Hosea 4:6 informs us that God's people perish for the lack of knowledge. But we also know that a degree in most anything does not guarantee anyone the strength that is needed when the pressures of life are threatening. Others will seek for strength on the basis of financial solutions for the problems of life. Now, it's granted that adequate resources may solve many of the challenges that we persistently are confronted with. Yet with man's instinct of the acquisition of more stuff, he's always striving for those new and better things that the world has to offer. However, when it's all added up, we understand that strength other than what is available through the kingdom of capital is what is needed. Many will seek strength through formation and development of meaningful relationships. And for sure, we cannot overestimate the value of the right kind of relationships for a fulfilling life. We studied this week in our Sabbath school lesson about this very topic. A true friend is indeed a very special blessing from God. Now, some will find their strength and purpose in life through performing or through listening to beautiful music. And there's a myriad of other things that human beings will seek to find that elusive inner strength. You could probably list off several that you are familiar with. Yet for many years of experience, Paul was living in an environment where the power of the pagan society was overwhelming. He was in a place where wickedness was deeply embedded in the fabric of the very society to which he belonged. Yet for many years of experience, this veteran follower of Jesus Christ gives us these important and cherished words. They're found in Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, he writes, in conclusion, he would say, or at the very end, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, you may be tempted to believe that you cannot ever possess this kind of power. That type of thinking actually falls under the category of doubt. Paul humbly and respectfully informs us in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, Paul had learned to live both in the depths of despair as well as on the crest of victory and success. How well he knew that our only hope of victory is to be found in the strength of the Lord. He was keenly aware of the weaknesses that are found in every one of us individually. And these weaknesses make us a potential victim of Satan at every moment. We are strengthened with a power that only comes from God and not of ourselves. So the scope of the task of the church and the responsibility of each believer to be a responsible follower of Jesus Christ requires that strength which only comes from above. As our Lord was preparing for his return to heaven, he made a promise to his disciples that the spiritual vitality and the strength they would need for a victorious life and for rendering service to him. He gave them the answer for the problems of the world. In Acts 1:8, this is what Christ declared to his disciples. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Paul encouraged the believers in Ephesus to be strong in the power of the Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, he wrote specifically to them, be filled with the Spirit. So these exhortations of being filled with the Spirit and being strong in the Lord are of the essential nature. To be filled with the Spirit, to be strong in the Lord, is not optional for the believer. It is the most fundamental factor if we are to overcome evil and to render effective service to our Savior and Lord. Now, one of the most wonderful promises for the presence of the Holy Spirit is given to each one of us, and it's found in Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter replied, each of you must turn from your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the Holy Spirit. So it's clear that everyone who repents and confesses his faith in Jesus Christ will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We receive this gift as we put our faith in Jesus Christ and ask him to be not only the Savior, but also the Lord of our life. This Holy Spirit is actually God's personal presence for everyone who makes a decision and a complete commitment to Jesus Christ. Now, there's some who think of the Holy Spirit in terms of ancient history for the most part. They think of him as being active at Pentecost and in the early days of the Christian or the Apostolic Church, yet they have not fully responded to his living presence in a present-day sense. But Paul asks us this question from 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? I hope you can see that the Holy Spirit is intended as God's gift to us for the present. We want to be aware of this most precious gift and not to regulate the work of the Spirit to the past or to think that it may just be something in the future. God's gift is bestowed to you at this moment as you make your decision for Jesus Christ. Now, are you aware that the Holy Spirit helps us to know that we are the children of God? Turn to Romans 8, and we'll be reading a few verses out of Romans 8. First one will be in Romans 8:16. In reference to us being the children of God, Paul writes, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, verse 26 of the same chapter says that the Spirit will help us in our prayer life. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot even be uttered. Anybody here need help with their weaknesses or infirmities? Amen indeed. How about help with your prayer life or the right direction in your life? God promises you the Holy Spirit as your gift. Now in verse 14 of the same chapter, we read that as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What a marvelous gift we've been given, folks. Listen to that. Don't you love that? We need some more of those, don't we? It's also through the gift of God's Spirit that He will raise us from the dead. Were you aware of that? Look at verse 11, the same chapter, chapter 8 of Romans. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So this morning, I think we must ask ourselves the question as to how much value we place upon this most treasured gift. Next, the Bible tells us that after hearing the truth of Christ's salvation, as we place our trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit seals us with the promise of His inheritance given to us. This sealing process is God's way of showing and telling of His ownership of His children. By this, He declares His intention of fulfilling the great plan of redemption in our lives. Ephesians 1, 12 to 14 explains it this way. God's purpose is that we, who were the first to trust in Christ, should praise our glorious God. And now you who have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom He promised long ago. On the evening of the Passover supper, Jesus told His disciples that He would soon be returning to the Father. You can imagine their disappointment. He explained that as they continued to love Him and keep His commandments, His Father would give them the Holy Spirit who would abide with them forever. Jesus told us in John 14, verses 15 and 16, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another comforter who will never leave you." Can you imagine what encouraging those words were to those despondent disciples? By the comparison of the brief ministry of Jesus on this earth, the Holy Spirit was bestowed to be an enduring gift to do the work of God in each one of those disciples and to do the work of God in you and I. Finally, the Holy Spirit is a powerful gift from God. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, that God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. How would you like to have all three of those? The spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. They're available. Amen, they are. You see, God's power is implanted within each one of us in a most ample supply. This occurs as we recognize our weaknesses and cast ourselves on His grace and His sustaining presence. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 and 9, Paul gives us his insight as to how this worked for him. You all know this text, I'm certain. Here's what he says. 3 different times, he says, I beg the Lord to take it away. Each time, he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, says Paul, so the power of Christ may work through me. Is that the kind of strength that you want? You can see that we are encouraged to become strong in the Lord and His strength rather than to rely on human resources. Ultimately, this is the secret as to how we may cope with those challenges, the pressures, and the dangers of life on this planet. So in conclusion, we understand that Paul is speaking from his own experience when he made the statement, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. He knew what that was all about, didn't he? This declaration does not come from the wild imaginations of a fanciful thinker. Instead, Paul is declaring the sufficiency of Jesus Christ to give him strength to do what is essential to be done, all the while being led in the paths of righteousness. So, in the strength of the Lord, let us face those fears that threaten us. In the strength of the Lord, let us resist the evil one and draw close to our God. In the strength of the Lord, let us face both our responsibilities and our opportunities. I hope you can see that Jesus Christ wants to bring the strength of God directly into your life. He's willing to do so at any moment you wish him to. He will do so through the person of the Holy Spirit as you trust him and follow his leading. Listen to this beautiful summary of what Jesus wants to do for each one of us today. Christ has made every provision for us to be strong. Do you believe that? Christ has made every provision for us to be strong. He has given us his Holy Spirit, whose office is to bring to our remembrance all the promises that Christ has made, that we may have peace and a sweet sense of forgiveness. If we will but keep our eyes fixed on the Savior and trust in his power, we shall be filled with a sense of security, for the righteousness of Christ will become our righteousness. In this short statement is the entire equation of salvation: justification, sanctification. He has given us his Holy Spirit, whose office it is to bring to our remembrance all the promises that Christ has made, that we may have peace and a sweet sense of forgiveness. Forgiveness is justification. Okay? So, that is the justification portion. Then, sanctification. If we will but keep our eyes fixed on the Savior and trust in his power, we shall be filled with a sense of security, for the righteousness of Christ will become our righteousness. Let me leave you with a little story as an illustration. 1917, how many of you remember that? In 1917, the port of Aqaba on the Red Sea seemed to be indestructible. I think it's on the north end, on the east side of the Red Sea. So any enemy, recall 1917, this was World War I, any enemy vessel approaching the port would have to face a battery of huge naval guns that were positioned above the town. Behind Aqaba, in every direction, lay the barren, waterless, and inhospitable desert. To the east lay what they called the deadly anvil of the sun. Turkish forces that controlled the port believed Aqaba to be safe from any attack by anybody. Guess what? They were wrong. Well, there was one, Lawrence of Arabia, who led a force of irregular Arab cavalry across this anvil of the sun, and together they rallied the support of the local people. On July 6 of 1917, these Arab forces swept into Aqaba from the north. They attacked Aqaba from the blind side, Arabs on their camels and horses, with Lawrence leading the charge, galloped right past those gigantic naval guns that were completely powerless to stop them. You see, the guns were facing in the wrong direction. Aqaba fell, and the Turkish hold on Palestine was broken. It was eventually replaced by the British Mandate, which led to the formation of the State of Israel. Now, the Turks failed to defend Aqaba because they made two crucial mistakes. First of all, they underestimated the capability of their enemy. Second, they did not have the right weapons. Anybody here ever make that mistake? Underestimating the capability of the enemy, not having the right weapons. Friends, we must be careful not to make the same mistakes. Ephesians 6:10 through 18 makes it unmistakably clear who our enemy is and what he is all about. It's also very instructive on the approved weaponry, the spiritual weaponry we must use. Let me close by reading these last few verses at the conclusion of Ephesians. A final word: be strong in the Lord's mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies and the tricks of the devil. For we're not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and the authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits that are in the heavenly realm. So, use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle, you will be left standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop those fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. I hope you notice that Paul's final advice to the Ephesians leaves us on our knees. And I think we can all recognize this to be an incredible bit of counsel for the times that we find ourselves in. We do thank you, Father, for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Help us to understand how much we need the Spirit. Help us to understand the value of having you in our lives. We ask, Father, that we will each day and every moment be committed to your way of doing things. May we find ourselves always walking in your will because we give you our will. Please enable us with your promises and bless us as we go forward from this place. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.